All right, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy,
chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to read from verse 1 down. It says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 1, "Give ear, ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender earth, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." Why we started from verse 1? The reason why we started from verse 1 is because the scriptures let us know the Most High is going to speak. And the way he speaks to us is through what? His scriptures. He speaks through his Holy Spirit. He gives us instruction through dreams and through the word of the Most High. He said that his doctrine shall drop as the rain. Meaning, can any of us stop the rain? No, we can't stop the rain. Now, it says, his speech is like the distilled dew. Before it rained on the earth, there was dew that watered the mist, watered the earth. And they brought forth the fruits and the, you know, the vegetation of the land. It says, as the small rain upon the tender earth. I mean, the small rain upon the tender earth is, if you're tender, if you're young, if you have not learned the doctrine of the Most High, his word will be able to bless you as it would a little bit of water on the tender, on a weak earth. It says, and as the showers upon the grass. The showers good upon grass? Yes. It says, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. So when we started last week class about, you know, how America and ancient Egypt are very parallel to each other. They're practically the same. They follow the same idolatrous ways. They follow the same witchcraft. They follow the same path of destruction. America's going through plagues, right, as we live in it right now. Ancient Egypt went through plagues. And the plagues, when we read about it, is to ascribe, to make us understand how great is our God. How the Most High is not an idol. The Most High is a living power, a living God. It says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. Meaning everything that the Most High has done in this world has been perfect. Meaning his judgments are perfect. Because it says all his works deal with what? All his ways are judgment. Meaning if you do good, you receive good. If you do evil, you receive of the evil that you do. Right? The Most High's ways are perfect. His ways deal with judgment. So when he judged Egypt for a few reasons. You know, and not only did he judge Egypt, but he judged us, right? And he was basically showing us his greatness. He was showing us that we must serve him. That was the point of bringing us out of Egypt. It says, he is a God of truth and without iniquity, meaning and without sin. The Most High is not a sinner. It says, just and right is he. Meaning the Most High is just in the way he deals, and he is right in the way that he conducts himself and the judgments that he makes. Says they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. So Moses imagined at that time, that generation that came out of Egypt, they were not that spot, you know, as the spot of the generation of the Most High, as the children of the Most High. Meaning when he planted us as a nation, he planted us to be what? Holy before him. He planted us to be different from the Egyptians, the Canaanites that we were going to conquer. We were supposed to be a righteous seed that was going to grow as a fruitful plant from the showers of his doctrine. But instead of being that, our people became crooked. Our people became perverse. Why? The first reason why is because they did not retain the knowledge of the Most High. They did not retain and understand and comprehend the power of our God. How is it that the Most High committed so many miracles in Egypt and they still were being rebellious towards Him? It's because they didn't understand His doctrine. They didn't understand His power. Hold your spot here. Go to the Apocrypha. Ecclesiasticus chapter 10. Ecclesiasticus chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 19. It says in Ecclesiasticus chapter 10 verse 19. They that fear the Lord are a sure seed, and they that love Him an honorable plant. They that regard not the law are a dishonorable seed, and they that transgress the commandments are a deceivable seed. So meaning, when you read the scripture, this letting us know clearly that the Most High planted our nation to be what? Honorable. Planted our nation to be righteous, following His laws, statutes, and commandments. But our people became a deceivable seed, meaning they became like the nations, cursed. Understand? They became, that's why when we read in Deuteronomy 28, 68, it says, I shall bring thee into Egypt again. You know, I'm going to bring you into a cursed condition again. It says how? With ships. Right? The reason we are in this predicament is because our forefathers didn't keep in mind the history of our elders, the history of our forefathers, the understanding and knowledge of the instructions of the Most High. That's why as we grow in this truth, we're supposed to teach those who come in the severity and the understanding of their own history. Because by teaching them their own history, you're also teaching them about their own judgments. You're teaching them how to observe and understand how to keep the commandments. You're showing them how to not be stubborn like their past generations. How to not become a dishonorable seed, not how to a degenerate seed. Instead of being a fruitful plant, being like weeds and thorns that you can't do nothing with. That's what the Most High was showing us by saying, I will speak and I will publish my name. We have to publish His name. We have to make our people aware of the greatness of the Passover, the greatness of the deliverance out of Egypt, and how if we believe in the deliverance that we came out of Egypt, we must believe in what? The deliverance that we're going to receive here in America. So don't go back into the ways of Egypt. Stay in the route towards the promised land. That's what the scripture is talking about. So go back to Deuteronomy before, and after that we're going to go to a few more scriptures about the importance of teaching our people their history. Deuteronomy chapter 32, because he said they became a perverse and crooked generation that are not His seed, that are not His spot. It says here in verse 6, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? It says, is not He thy father that hath bought thee and hath not made thee and established thee? So meaning, the Most High is saying, have you not thought about this? Have you not examined this? That He was the one that brought you out of Egypt, that bought you? That He's the one that made you and established you? It says, remember the days of old. This is the point. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father. So back in ancient Israel, when we had literally fathers, you know, your blood, your flesh and blood, the father that put the seed in your mother that bore you, you know, that had you, right? We back then, we will ask our father, why do we do this, father? Why we don't eat leavening at this time of the season? Why we have to dwell in tents at this time of the season? And they will do what? Would they ignore us? Would they just go, ah, you're too young to understand this? No, the scripture says they will do what? It says, and He will show thee. So our fathers, they were supposed to show us the things that were of old.
of many generations. It says, thy elders, because guess what? Some people didn't have fathers. They were orphans, right? Some women were widows and they had children. So who was going to teach them? You had the elders set up, the judges of the nation. It says, and thy elders, and they will tell thee. So that was the point. The elders in ancient Israel, their job was not only to teach the people the law, but to teach them their history. By teaching them the law, they're going to also teach them the history. It goes together, hand in hand. Let's prove that. Let's go to Psalms 78. The book of Psalms, chapter 78. And by the way, if y'all have questions, Psalms chapter 78. Just like when he brought us out of Egypt, he didn't just bring us out of Egypt out of slavery only. He brought us out of what? Out of sin. That was the whole purpose of bringing us out of Egypt. That's why when every single time Moses taught us, he said, don't go into the way of the Egyptians. The Most High hated that. So with Christ coming on this earth, Christ is not just going to save us from physical captivity. He's supposed to save us from what as well? Free us from sin. You understand? And that's the purpose of us going through this. To show us the parallel of our forefathers and us. You understand? Just like they had deliverance in a large scale by plagues and by destruction, Christ is going to plague this earth and plague the nations and deliver us because he had fought us. So the difference back then is Israel came as a whole out of Egypt. Now, Israel's not going to come out of this modern-day Egypt as a whole. Only those that have received the portion of the Spirit, those that were called and predestined to be saved, those that were bought with the price of what? The blood of Christ. Just like we were bought with the price of the lambs and sacrifices that happened in the land of Egypt, those are the only ones that will be able to be delivered from this captivity. So, going to Psalms 78 and verse 1, because this is going to be a good example that it goes hand in hand. Psalms 78, verse 1. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. So again, the Most High is telling us the same thing that was being said in Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. It says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of what? Of old. Not new, but of old. Who's this talking? Right, that's Christ talking. When he said, give ear to my law, and I will speak to you in parables of old. Let's prove that. Let's go to, hold your spot there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Let's prove that Christ was fulfilling prophecy. Matthew's, book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 35. It says here, I'm going to start at verse 34. It says, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So this is what was kept secret to our forefathers. What was kept secret? That the deliverance that they were having of Egypt was going to happen to them again. But in a greater scale. Through what? Through the sacrifice, through the blood of Yahawashi. He was the Lamb, he was the Lamb without blemish, that the bones cannot be broken, right? He is the one that's going to come back with the cloud, just like we had what? Deliverance from the pillar of fire and a cloud by day. So Christ is going to come in that fashion to deliver his people by fire and by a chariot, which is the cloud. So that all that stuff was hidden from our people. But as you had great prophets of old, they understood these things. Moses, Solomon, David, Isaiah, That's why we read Isaiah, he was saying what? Rahab. He called the dragon. He called modern Egypt, because that's what he said. He said, you're a dragon. You're going to get destroyed. By who? By Christ. Because remember, modern day Babylon, what does it call it? A beast, a dragon. That same old serpent, right? When you read Revelation chapter 12. Let's go back to Psalm 78. It says in Psalm 78 and verse 3. Because just in case we think that, oh, the things are so secret that it wasn't revealed to Israel. Verse 3 says, which we have heard and known. Which we have heard and known. So meaning this was made known to Israel. This was heard by the descendants of the Israelites. It says, and our fathers have told us. Going back to Deuteronomy 32. The fathers were supposed to keep saying to their children, remember this, son. This is your salvation. Let me teach you your history. Let me teach you what happened in Egypt. Let me teach you what Moses did, what Aaron did, what Miriam did, so on and so forth. Because when you read about the song of deliverance in Exodus 15, the song of Moses, guess what? In Revelation, it says those that are delivered are going to sing that what? Same song. Why would they sing the same song if Egypt has already been destroyed? Because the kingdom we are in mimics, and it's the same Egyptian spirit that has taken us into captivity and has bewitched our people to follow what? Witchcraft. That's what it is. It's no different. You don't think our people that came out of Egypt had customs that they were following that were against the Most High's laws? Yes. You had Israelites coming out of there with bald heads. Why? Because in Egypt, that was a symbol of royalty when a person had their heads completely shaven bald. Those are things that we have to understand. Just like today, a person had their beard shaven and things like that, it's because of what? They think it's a fashion. They think that they look clean, they look prestigious. Oh, look, you know, I'm trying to, you know, show myself to be someone of a great estate. When in reality, they look like a homosexual, an effeminate man that has no understanding of what is dignity or what is manliness. So it says in verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. Meaning we're not to hide our history from our children. It says, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord. Because when we read about what he did in Egypt, we should be happy and praising the Most High. Like, wow, he did that for us. That was us back then. Wow, he did that for Israel? You know, we're supposed to be praising him for the great things that he has done. That's why when you read in the Psalms, David spoke about what happened in Egypt in a number of Psalms. When you read Solomon, he spoke about the same things. You know, you have other fathers that taught as far as the same thing about the deliverance of Egypt. You had Jesus, son of Sirach. He talked about Aaron and Moses and the great fathers, that those famous men that were being praised because of the glory of the Lord. It says, and his strength and his wonderful works that he have done. What are the wonderful works that he have done? The miracles through Moses. The great plagues. Right? Because we're going to see plagues in these last days. And like you never seen before. Esau is already seeing plagues. Like, wow, this is breaking history right here. Well, I never seen so many hurricanes in one year. Because you know Esau keeps stats of everything. Well, next year it might be even worse. This is amazing. What is happening to the earth? Is the atmosphere changing? It must be that the polar caps, you know, they must be melting and the water is increasing and it's changing the climate. They so dumb like that. They don't consider this is the Lord doing this. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, meaning this is part of the law, to teach our children of what we have known, of the history of our forefathers. It says, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them. You talk to a child now, you tell them about what happened in Egypt, what is the Ten Commandments, they don't know. Yeah, they'll tell you real quick, the sole prince of Egypt, but they don't know that's talking about what? Them. Right? They'll know those songs from Prince of Egypt, but they don't understand the fullness of what? What the history entails. It says, the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children. But generations that come and go, is supposed to be passed down, the history. It says that they might set their hope in God. That they might set their hope in God. Meaning that by us learning what happened to our forefathers, how they got delivered out of Egypt, and how the Most High required patience by his people and his servant Moses and Aaron, we have to learn what? The same thing. Like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going back to the world. Because the Most High is going to deliver us out of Egypt, just like he delivered us back then. It says, and not forget the works of God. And not forget the works of God. And not forget the works of God. But keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Let's read an example of that. Let's go to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 7. Now, remember, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that were saved from that deliverance that came out of Egypt. They were the only ones that were given the opportunity to come into the land. So that generation that was with Joshua and Caleb, were they that generation that received the deliverance out of Egypt? No. A lot of them were too young. They were under 20. You understand? Some of them, they were not circumcised when they came out of Egypt, when we read in the book of Joshua. Right? So Joshua and Caleb were much older than those that came up. Now, don't get me wrong, there were elders set up when Joshua came into power and Moses died. They said, we shall follow thee, Joshua, as we follow Moses. Now, what do you think Joshua was doing all that time when they were going out to war to that generation? How do you think he was dealing with them? Let's see. Verse 7, it says, and the people served the Lord all the days of who? Of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who has seen all the great works of the Lord, and he did for Israel. So the people followed who? People followed Joshua. The people followed the elders that were set up under Joshua, because those elders understood the greatness of the deliverance that the Most High gave who? The children of Israel. Those elders, Joshua and those elders, understood it. Some of them were like 18, 19, and they came out when they were little kids, 10, and they saw everything. The Most High kept that generation. So by the time their fathers died, they became the elders of the nation. So they understood. Now, when Joshua was alive, what was he teaching? Let's go to the book of Joshua. Hold your spot here in Judges. Let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for the head, and for the judges, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood, meaning on the Euphrates, the other side of Euphrates, in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, or Nahor, says, and they served other gods. So he's saying, before Abraham was called, they were on the other side. They were in Ur of the Chaldees, which is in Babylon, which is on the other side of the Euphrates. Said, Terah, Nahor, and Abraham, they were serving other gods. It says, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. What is Joshua teaching? He's teaching the people the history. He says, and I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt.
That's what we're going to go over. The plagues of Egypt.
I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, meaning to the Red Sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with the chariots and the horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side, Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I will not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. It says, of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in what? In truth. Who said that? Christ was teaching us that. Didn't Christ say, for the Most High is the Spirit, saying he seeketh them who shall worship him in the spirit of sincerity and truth. How is it that you serve the Most High in sincerity and truth? Learn your history and learn the mistakes of our forefathers. And see what is the way to go. That's what the scripture is teaching us. It says, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side. Boom, gave you the answer. It says, of the flood and in Egypt, put away the gods that you saw from the other side, meaning from Babylon, all the way from the time period of Abraham, whatever gods they brought with them. Because remember, Rachel, when she fled from Laban, what'd she do? She took some of the images and hid it. Right?